My name's Glenn. I am a sexual compulsive love addict.
Glenn.
So, hello West Side. I am from Hollywood and grateful to Louis for asking me to come out here. My home group is the fantasy meeting in North Hollywood. So I don't get to come out here very often. That's my regular meeting. But, you know, I want to talk for a moment about creativity. Creativity begins with fantasy. The difference is that when, you know, like, creativity begins with, like, all that goes on up here, and then suddenly it can materialize in real life, right? I can work on that. So the confusion for me was I lived a lot up here, and I didn't actually, I was afraid. I was fearful of some of the fantasies that I carried in my head. I kept secrets. I had to be very careful. I was a little gay boy growing up in Detroit City, but even before I knew I was a gay boy, I was a Middle Eastern off-white kid, and there were a bunch of, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids on the block, and I felt different. And now that I really understand sex and love addiction, I don't think feeling different is just because I'm gay. I think feeling different is because I have some kind of different way of approaching relationships, sexuality, that other people seem to not have. It's just the same thing about the allergy of drinking, right, or whatever. I think that now I see this secret about my sex and love addiction. I hate to tell you, but you all have it too. And I can actually have, like, I've been around long enough in this program that I can actually understand and have compassion for myself, for that unknowing. I'm also doing a little book study with a friend on the untethered soul, and I'm really focusing on the way I think, right? The thoughts that go on, like, who am I? Like, what is that? And I'm really grateful after doing that way at the beginning when I came in 13 years ago to do it again. Because I am, like, this tiny little book, this old tiny little book, because it has embossed the words Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, which they had to take that away too. This tiny little book came into my possession in 1992 when I had, in my long-term relationship, I had done some acting out which affected my relationship and put my partner in jeopardy, and our couples therapist told me to come to SLAA, and the thing is that I picked up this book, I went to 2 weeks of SLAA meetings, and I was fixed. What a miracle. And really what I did was I learned to compartmentalize and bury and hide and change it up. In my drug addiction, about 4 years later, when my partner found a little baggie of something in, like, if you know what a secretary desk is, it's like a ridiculous amount of little drawers. And for some reason, he, like, found it in this one drawer. And I knew exactly what to do because I knew how to put things away. And I grabbed it and I went, oh my God, what's that? That must be from years ago. Like, how did, what? And I went right to the toilet and I flushed it in front of him. Because the disease wants me to keep a secret. The disease wants me to separate and isolate myself. The disease that exists here in my head, like, I just had a call from a sponsee on the way here who was, like, telling me what was going on in his head. And he asked me for advice, and I tend to do this with my sponsees. And it's probably manipulation, but I don't care. I said, go to a meeting, go to our home group meeting, because it's happening right now. And I said, I want you to talk to two people after the meeting and tell them what you just told me and get their feedback, and then call me after I'm done sharing at this meeting, and we'll talk. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, I don't have the answers, and I didn't trust anybody when I first came into the rooms that they would have the answers. And, you know, like, I know now after doing the step work, and I really want to focus on the 10th, 11th, and 12th steps, since there's not, didn't hear any newcomers. What was afforded to me by doing this step work is this kind of daily inventory that I get to take a look at who I am, where I'm going, what I'm doing. Like, I grew up Catholic, and I didn't get it. I don't bash. So the 10th step, like this little book, wherever it went, meant more to me than any of the other books that I've read, any of the self-help books. Like I work in treatment now, and I have two bookshelves. The lower bookshelf are 12-step programs. The upper bookshelf are self-help books that I've read throughout the years. And I would have, like, a friend would be like, here, Glenn, read this. I hear you're crazy, and you should read this. And I'd read it, and I'd cry, and I'd blah, blah, blah. And then what would happen is it would, like, wear off. I would continue going back to my old pattern that, you know, the water takes the easiest route. Like, I would just fall back into my old stuff. And so that bottom shelf of books, 12 steps, showed me how to maintain my recovery. The 10th step is such a gift for me that I actually take a look at who I am and what I've done. And it doesn't, I don't have to wait till the, you know, at night. I do something rude or whatever and I catch myself. Even before I do it, I catch myself thinking it nowadays. And then I did this 11th step. I was at the Christmas, New Year's thing at St. Michael's over in Studio City. And in the bookcase, I was on my 11th step, and in the bookcase was a book that was just there in that church. Thank you, 3 minutes. And I saw, and it said, and I might not be right, but it said, walking a sacred path. And it was, I read this book, I was on my 11th step, I read this book, and for a year doing my 11th step, I walked a labyrinth around LA. And when you start looking, you can find, just like my addiction, right? When I'm looking for other sex and love addicts, I find them. When I'm looking for a spiritual path, mm-hmm. I find them. And I walked a labyrinth every 2 weeks for a year. And I went, and the other 2 weeks, I went to different religious expressions. I wanted to just, like, the judgment had left me about how, like, I don't see religion as a problem. I see the people as a problem, the unenlightened people. And then this gift of the 12th step. Early on, I found, I heard in the rooms, somebody was trying to get SLAA into Men's Central Jail. And I was like, I've never been arrested. I'm tall. I'm off-white. I could have been arrested for some of the shit that I did, but somehow I skated away with it. So I thought, that's what I need to do. And even before I started sponsoring, I would go into Men's Central Jail. And the hardest for me, and I'm sorry those of you have heard my share before, but it was most impactful. I walked into a cell of, like a big dorm of like 200 beds. And I had to say, hi, my name is Glenn, and I'm a sex and love addict. And I'm here bringing to you Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous program. I was like shaking, and I said, I come down the hall if you, and this is the cell that had all the people that had crimes against youth and had been caught for some of the stuff that they had done or the sites that they had visited or whatever. And I thought to myself, I walked out of there shaking, and I walked into the room that we were meeting at, and there were other members from SLA, and I could not lift my eyes because I was like all that stuff, my own stuff, right? And my judgment stuff. And I had to, like, the voice inside my head, thank you, untethered soul, said, raise your eyes. Anybody who walks through that room is practicing the third tradition, right? They just want to hear something, and you have to show them respect, and you have to show them that they matter. And I got a chill. And I raised my head as I heard them walking down the hall. I raised my head up, and I greeted them all, like, with with honor and respect, right? And we had a meeting in Men's Central Jail. And 2 years after that meeting, I was at one of our meetings, and I caught eyes with the guy making coffee, and he smiled at me, and I was sharing, and he smiled at me, and I got to smile back. And so I hear that. So those three steps have kept me engaged in this program. The being of service is like, I don't have a problem telling anybody that I'm a sex and love addict. I'm like the kid from The Sixth Sense. I see sex and love addicts everywhere now. And I'm grateful for that that openness and that willingness. Thanks for letting me share.